It's good to be back at Hillview. I want to thank God for what he's going on today, but most of all, I want to thank you all, Elizabeth and I and our family, for the past 23 years of being able to hang out as your pastor and watch what God has done here has been incredibly amazing. And Randy, we didn't look exactly like this 20 years ago. Many of us have grown up together. You know, Craig, you and I were talking. We look, man, where'd all our kids go? They're gone. But where is this going? In the next 23 years, though, you know what I hope? I hope to see more of the revelation of God than I ever have in my life. Here's one thing I love about God. Always gets better. God always what? Gets better. He always steps out there one more, a little bit more. And so I really, today I am hungry that this message this is what's so cool. The message that's already in you will begin to be released out of us as a church and into the world. And I am cranked up and I'm passionate and I'm kind of a cool phase and time of life. Elizabeth gets to travel with me a little bit more now, and we've been around and about, and that's why we hadn't been with you the last two Sundays. And we hear a lot of echoes in the world. What's going on in the United States? What's going on in the world? And I'm so thankful that you all get this. This faith is not about what we're against. It's about what we're for. And I really want to, Harold, kind of give you, as we show it, we need to become what we're for. And we need to know what God is for. I got to hear Benjamin Netanyahu, the prime minister of Israel, speak. Halfway through his speech, he paused and he says, what people don't understand, because he was bearing down on how there's a movement where people are boycotting Israel. Now, if you're into that movement, you're going to have integrity, you need to go ahead and turn all your computers, your cell phones, and all those things on the stage today, because those all come from Israel. Israel had cell technology long before we had a cell phone. That's where it comes from. Those people that God spoke to long ago are still globally at this moment of time communicating. Now, if you are incidental enough to call that coincidental, you got a lot more faith than I do. I see a God that makes a promise who always keeps a promise. How many of y'all got that kind of God? The God that makes a promise always keeps a promise. Remember that? He said, what people don't understand is we're a nation that wants to bring life amongst a philosophy that will only bring death. That Israel's trying to bring life in the midst of a conflict, in a religious understanding, in a theology that says death is greater than life. You and I worship a God that brings life. If you don't mind, just look at a neighbor or somebody close to you and say, hey, God wants you to live. Come on. I want you to feel this. Because until we understand up here in our minds and our hearts what God's agenda is, it's hard to follow God. God wants us to live. He don't want us to just yell and scream at the world. He wants us to what? To live. Now go with me to Philippians. I thought Pastor Jamie did a marvelous job preaching last week. Anybody here last week? How'd Jamie do? Wow. I was listening to his sermon in the truck. I about got in the floorboard and got saved. I'm telling you, was that good? And Jamie did a great job hitting the very pointed part of the text, that even though God could have been equal with heaven, Jesus could have been equal with heaven, He did not consider equality his issue. Now, let's think about this a minute. What do we hear about all the time inside our culture at this moment? Come on, y'all, watch this. I hit it, you know the answer. You don't want to say it because some of y'all believe that's what life's about. Equality, equality. I am so tired of hearing about equality. Let me tell you about equality. Ain't nobody equal. And the reason y'all are nodding your heads is you know I'm telling you the truth. I'm not running for office, so I can tell you the truth. And here's why. Watch this. There's always somebody that can run a little faster. There's always somebody in the class that's a little bit smarter. There's always somebody that can paint a little bit better or dance a little bit cooler or somebody that can talk a little bit better or somebody that dresses a little bit sharper. It's never the same. And you know what I say? Thank God it's not. And so here's what I want you to know. God doesn't talk about equality. He talks about purpose. And the reason a lot of you are depressed is you spend so much time on saying if it's equal, you never live. How many of you never enjoy your life because you're always looking at your neighbor's life to see if you got less and more than they do? See, instead of doing what? Living. We're becoming a nation of victims. How pathetic is that? I'm so tired of hearing about everybody's victim situation. I already know that. We're all sinners and falling short of the grace of God. Victim. We are victims of sin. Not some of us, all of us. Green people, purple people, pink people, psychedelic people, long-haired people, short-haired people. People without color, people with color, people that are chunky, people that are slim, all the different types of people finding themselves in equality in one place. You and I have fallen short of what we could be with God. True or false? Welcome to equality. Some of you who pushed for economic equality, you are really not going to like it when you get it. I've been to the countries that push for economic equality, and here's what it ends up being. We're all poor. Because when we try to save ourselves, we will never pull ourselves forward. We will always pull ourselves downward. What do you think, LB? Am I telling the truth? The only way I can move to better is with Jesus. How many of y'all found that to be true? When I get with Jesus, I get better. Anybody found that to be true? I don't know, maybe I'm better with Jesus. And so if I was running a campaign, I wish the church would get into this campaign. We're better with Jesus. And without him, I like that. Hey, that's a Bible verse. Did you know that? Without him, nothing. But with him, all things are possible. And I believe that, man. I live in an all things is possible kind of world. 23 years ago, exactly on this Sunday, I stood in a chapel. We released a dream. Guess what? All my friends thought it was impossible. This is Bowling Green, Kentucky. I had people say, man, black people and white people won't go to church together in Bowling Green, Kentucky. That's what they said when we started. Now they go, well, that's just a crazy church. They're all mixed up. They got everything over there. They didn't realize 13 other languages would show up. I baptized people from countries I can't even spell. I said, where are you from? Babushevak. Really? It doesn't matter where you're from. Guess what? It matters. That's right. It matters where you headed. I don't know about you all, but I'm excited. I'm excited to live in a community where nobody comes from exactly the same place, but everybody's headed to the same place. Not everybody's given exactly the same gifts, but everybody's given something that's powerful and useful. Not everybody has the same aches and pains and places of hurt, but we've all been hurt somewhere, and God's going to heal that and make us useful together. I'm glad to be in a church that says, welcome, welcome, and welcome, and welcome, and welcome. And I'll tell you what I love about you guys. Y'all have learned that if you're going to follow God, people are going to talk about you. And some of us, enough of us, have grown up enough now, you don't care. I told you that's a beautiful thing about aging. There's only one of them, and it ain't your face. It's the inside experience. How many of y'all have ever seen an old man go to you live in a neighborhood, an old man be walking out in his boxers, his colored socks, and his dress shoes, or some pair of shorts on with a wife beater tank top on, colored socks, his wingtips. Some of y'all were going, "That's my dad." I used to walk and think, "Man, what's that dude doing?" It is absolute total freedom. You walking out to the world, you dress like that, you telling the world, "I am free in me and I don't care what any of you think." I have learned that life is not about how you state me, but life is released in what God has said about you. You see how powerful that becomes. Can you imagine a whole church stirred up like that? People ask me all the time, I said, "What about Hillview?" I said, "They're all beautiful. Everybody at Hillview is beautiful." I said, "Well, you got people over." I said, "Everybody at Hillview is beautiful." I know the times that if I'm spiritually going off track as your pastor, it's when I don't see everybody beautiful. Because God sees everybody beautiful. Now, man, we like to make, that's why you don't need to be talking about other people. Everybody's beautiful to somebody, amen. That's what gave me a shot with Elizabeth. I never forget one year, these two police officers came in my office. And Hillview just kind of started out. And these boys, they were great law enforcement. They're kind of rough cut dudes. And they come in my office and they said, "Hey, Rev, we want you to talk to us about dating." I said, "You probably need to go down the hall to some of the other pastors. They're probably a little better at that than I was." I said, I was fortunate enough at a young age, I connected with Elizabeth, and I figured that was my only hope and last shot at anything. And so I just kind of held on until I got there. I said, "I'm not real good at it." And they said, "No, we won't talk to you." And I said, "Why you won't talk to me?" They said, "If anybody as ugly as you can get a wife like Elizabeth, we want to hear how." And I said, "Sit down, gentlemen. Jesus died on a cross. He rose from the grave. There are things impossible." Amen. But everybody's beautiful to somebody. Now, let me tell you what Jamie was teaching about. He said, Jesus came, and he came to make us servants, not protesters. Jesus came to turn us into lovers of life, not death agents. Our message ought to be louder, not go to hell, but come to heaven. Now, that doesn't mean we ignore sin. It means we say by the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, we can get over it and get through it and get on with it. And I just want to show you some principles today. If we're going to move into full life, we got to watch three things that really do limit our existence. There are three things. First of all, what we think is limited. And we just spend a lifetime on it. I got so tickled at Colorado. I don't know if y'all have been keeping up with current events, but Colorado has added a new substance to the substance of their society. It's not a substance that had not been available. It's just now legally available. They can smoke dope there legally. Now, y'all, if I see a bunch of people in Colorado next week, I'm going to get a little bit upset here. But let me show you what happened. Colorado, about 3 months into this experiment, all of the leaders are dumbfounded that traffic accidents have picked up on the streets of Colorado. Now, this is what was amazing to me. The PhDs from the University of Boulder are trying to put this into study, configuring out. I just want to tell you, high people don't drive as safe as sober people. Have y'all noticed that? And see, what's this? All this, "Well, I think it's my right and it's my personal decision." You know what? It is until you kill my wife, until you take my baby, until you kill my best friend. See, that's the problem with our world. We're fixing to destroy our nation because everybody wants what they want. Well, not everybody can have what they want, because not everything you want is a good thing. But see, watch this. It sounds right, because we'll go, well, it's not equal. It's not just. It's not fair. These are not questions of the Bible. How much would the world change if this was the driver of the Bible? Is what I'm participating in, or what I am claiming is true, does it bring life? God only participates in that that brings life. Think about that a minute. God only participates in that that brings what? But you see, we argue against things that don't bring life, and we say, well, it makes me feel better. Well, I don't help you. There's a lot of things that make you feel good that aren't good. Would you all agree with that? I mean, if I was on a business trip and decided to have a feel-good moment, that would be death when I arrived back home. Amen. Oh, some women up here going, guarantee. So hold on. If that be true, then maybe it's not, life's not about what? It's not all about feelings. Really, personally, as your pastor, I'm so sick and tired of hearing about feelings, I could choke. I have had to pastor the generation of memories. You know, they grew up with that song. When they were kids, their parents had this song, you know. No, this one. You know, not memories, feelings. You remember? Feelings. They grew up. Who sang that? Anybody know who sang that? Who? Boris? Morris who? Y'all are basing your life on a guy named Morris? I mean, think about it. It's more than what? Well, hold on. I guarantee you this week you will be in a discussion with somebody, and they'll talk about, well, now we can't do that because I don't feel like that's a good idea. And then here's the third thing we do. I will it. I want it. It should be. Now, let's think about your relationships. Let's think about everything you do in life. How many of y'all have to run it through the I feel, I think, or I will? Now, every one of y'all that are in sales, you do that every day. You know that. You know I'm telling the truth. Y'all starting to grin because I have part of your degree that I took in undergrad. Guess what marketing is? It is a professional degree to help people understand what they need to think, what they need to feel, and what they need to do. And what you need to do is buy it from me. That's the basic line in marketing, right? I go back to this all the time, but I still remember this as a kid. This is how the indelible impression this commercial had on me in my life. How many of y'all remember the Mercury Cougar? Anybody in here remember Mercury Cougars? I'm going to see who's grinning. I'm talking about Mercury Cougars. What do you remember about the Mercury Cougar? Do you remember the Mercury Cougar commercial? It's a black cougar, right? Why do you remember it? Come on, we're in church. Better tell the truth. I'm going to tell the truth. Why do you remember it? I remember it because of the long-legged blonde stretched out on the hood. Now, what do blondes have to do with Mercury Cougar Fords? Nothing other than this. You young man, you see, cougar. Whew. You see a good-looking woman on the hood, and you're thinking, I believe I'm going to give me a cougar. I think that's a good idea. I feel like it might, in that we're played with this stuff all day long. Now, let me take you to the core of the message today. Will you surrender to what God says more than what you think or what you feel or what you want? That's where it gets down to business, doesn't it? But what happens when we do, God releases a life in us that draws others to live and causes you to live well. I know I've enjoyed being married. Anybody else here enjoy being married? Anybody enjoy being married? Boy, that's a different question, isn't it? I didn't ask you. I saw some awesome wife smacking her husband so they get their hands up. Or one of these. You better tell them you enjoy it, boy. They live like that. Elizabeth and I got to go to a 50th year anniversary yesterday. Those are always cool because those won't be very many of those left. So we're excited. 50 years that people have been married. What was exciting about it, this couple, they attend church here. They were like absolutely full of life.
I told Elizabeth, I said, I want to be like that. If we make it to 50, I want to be like that. I want to be like that. Their kids were full of life. Their grandkids were full of life. They were full of life. They showed pictures, and guess what? Their parents before them were full of life. Now, they had one common thing. Guess what it was? Jesus. You're right. He brings life. Now, go with me to Philippians. Let's see what Paul said. He's writing. Now, David, Paul could have been ticked off. How many of y'all realize they put Paul in jail? Have I reminded y'all this in here? Paul's where? Y'all give me the location of his writing identity here. Jail. Injustice. Do you realize, Blake, that Paul is a Roman citizen and they have violated his constitutional right, putting him in jail without a fair trial as a Roman citizen? And so Paul writes, I am now starting a movement against the injustice of the Roman government. I want us to picket in protest of this great injustice to my life. Is that what he writes about? Or he starts a TV show on MSNBC to talk about all of his injustice. Or how unfairly he's been treated. No, this dude is a man of God. This dude is not shaking people down. He's lifting people up. And I have become absolutely fed up to the top of my gills. As if I was a fish. Way beyond the top of my head. If people shaking down other human beings. And not giving them a better life. All in the name of justice. Some of y'all need to get rid of your justice and take a good dose of justification. You see, God offers justification. He offers redemption. He offers a new life. He offers a better way of thinking, a better way of feeling, a better way of choosing. He offers heaven in the midst of hell. Now, since Paul had this experience, he writes like this. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Note that. We're all working what? We're working it out. Every day, God, and here's what's really going on. How many of y'all glad to know the Spirit of God is working in you so that it will work out of you so that your reality will become a better moment? Did y'all get the drift? The Spirit of God works in me so it can work what? Catch me here. What? Out of me so that my surroundings become what? How many of y'all found that to be true? Yeah, I refer to Elizabeth. Elizabeth, if we pray on a regular basis, is that a better week? Does it change everything in a week? But does it change the week? What do you think?
Changes how you perceive the week.
That's where I'm going. It changes how I perceive the week. Elizabeth and I, when I pray together, we pray together. The car still gets a flat tire. But instead of cussing it, we just change it. My son is sitting up here many times. He has told me he's like God. God's given him a gift of smooth. He can stay stable in crisis. Something will tear up. And I used to think that you could yell a piece of machinery fixed. Any of y'all ever had that theory? For anybody else do that? I mean, something tear up. I'm not going to tell you exactly what I said. Because it's bad. And I talked to the machinery in a bad way, thinking it's going to heal it. And I remember he was just a kid. And he looked at me and he said, Dad, I don't know why you do all that yelling. That's not going to make that generator run. You have to have a screwdriver and pliers. And for that to run, somebody else needs to have the screwdriver and pliers. You got to fix it. God fixes us. Paul knew that. He said, listen, I want you to obey. Do the things that God's called you to do while I'm in front of you or even if I'm not there. But here's what I want to get on. Make sure you understand you need to have deep reverence for God. Fear and trembling doesn't mean we're scared of God, but we understand who's in charge. And the longer I live, guess what I find? God's in charge.
That's the cool thing about, there's only one cool thing. There's only just a few cool things about getting older. God's in charge. Have y'all ever seen like you, grandma and grandpa? Have you noticed how like old people that are faithful, they never get rattled? Like my dad, he ticks me off all the time. I said, Dad, what's going to happen if the whole nation could play? The dollar collapses. I go through all these scenarios. He goes, well, you'll eat some beans. I said, what do you mean you'll eat some beans? He said, well, you'll eat beans every night. But he said, you know, there's many special ways you can make beans taste many different ways. He said, the reason I know this, I came in eating beans. And I may go out eating beans. But he said, you know what? God always give you something to eat. Now, I think part of that's faith and part of that's being in your 80s knowing you ain't got long to eat beans. But I'm just telling the truth. He's always been, he stays calm, ticks me off. One day I was in there and I looked at the ticker tape for a minute and I thought my whole world was falling apart. And I come out of the office, he hadn't been walking through the office. I said, have you seen the market today? He goes, by George, I have entered the wrong facility. He said, I thought this was Hillview Heights Church. I didn't know it had become a stockbroker office. He said, go read your Bible and let God take care of the rest of that stuff. Don't you hate it when your parents are right? You see, I was worrying about what is. And my dad pointed me back to what will be. And sometimes we get so tore up on what is, we forget to see what will be. And that's why you need to let your salvation work out of it. Because let me tell you what will be. God will always be in charge. God will always bring life. God will always be loving. God always will. For it is God who works in you to will and act in order to fulfill his good purpose. I want to tell you the absolute truth. And I believe this, and I got some preachers that argue with me, and I love them, but they're wrong. When God gets a hold of you in salvation, nobody can loosen that grip. And you know why I know I'm right? I've read over there in Romans, not death, not governments, not powers, not authorities, not theories, not education, not money, not lack of money. Nothing can release the grip of God's grace in the power of the Holy Spirit. Stephen, I'm telling you, nothing can release that grip. Somebody say, well, what if Congress has no authority over God? The United States has not a word to say to God. Russia has old Putin over there riding his horse shirtless. Over up there thinking he's riding a big stallion. He's a KGB boy. Is he tremendously smart? You better believe it. Is he a smooth politician? You don't have to be smooth when you KBG. Did I say that right? KGB. Dyslexic. I'd be a dyslexic Russian. But you know what? All great leaders. You listening to me, Hemming? All great leaders only get to speak for a moment. There has only been one leader who has spoken through the ages. His name is Jesus. And he's in you, working it out in you. He says you can be saved. Thus you can. Hillview, I want to thank y'all. Y'all believe that. Y'all are sharing that with people. You're getting it out everywhere. And guess what's happening to people? They're getting saved. Well, imagine that. As Gomer Pyle used to say, surprise, surprise, surprise. Do what God asks you to do and see who God is. It's that simple. Now, a lot of us, we don't like it that simple. My academic colleague says, well, now, Reverend, it can't be that simple. I said, well, let me tell you what, I don't think it can be that complicated. They go, well, why do you say something like that? Because I said, none of y'all are as smart as you think you are. Because I said, if you would ever look at what your theories do, they are not real brilliant. Case in point. What about poverty in the United States today?
How is it? I mean, is it growing or is it shrinking? Come on, it's either shrinking or growing. It can't be doing what? But I thought in the 60s we were going to solve that through the power of sociology. And we had studies of all theology. We've had a war decried against poverty since 1966. When do you raise the white flag and say, we lost? We had a war on drugs too. We lost. You know why? We warred against the wrong things. What we should have done is raise the white flag on the first part and say, Lord Jesus, I need you to come into my life and save me of my wicked ways, my twisted mind, and I need you to come into here and work your way out of me. Guess what that would have done? Change the world at least. It'll still do it. And guess who's got to do it? You and I. We're the bright and shining stars. All right, real quick, I'm ending today. One great way to show Jesus. You ready? A marvelous way to show Jesus. This is better than bumper stickers, T-shirts, glow-in-the-dark Bible covers, Christian underwear, whatever else you think that you need to show Jesus. This is better than all that jazz. You ready? Check it out. Check it out. Verse 2. I'm in verse 16. Check this out. Excuse me, verse 14. Do everything without grumbling or arguing so that you may become blameless and pure children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. What? This letter 2,000 years old. And he's talking about a warped and crooked generation. That's what I hear all of us old people talking about. I've said this. I'll tell you what, now it's getting bad. How many of y'all have said that? That's when I knew I'd aged. I went, well, I tell you what now. And I mumbled just like old men at the country store used to do. I knew it was happening to me. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Y'all have been to the country store? How many of y'all have been to the country store? Yeah. If we'd elect the five guys on the country store, all problems of the world would be solved. Because let me tell you, they got them solved every morning. They know exactly what to do everywhere, for every situation. They can run the schools. Every one of them got a perfect marriage. You know why? Because none of their wives come to the front porch of the curve store. I know a lot of you men are like me. You say, by gosh, I'll tell you what I tell that woman to do. I'll tell you what I'm doing right now. And then all of a sudden, honey, yes, hon, I'm coming right now. Now, this is called standing up. Look what he said. Be obedient to these things. I just want you to imagine this is a great show it right here. I think, and I just want you to do this, we need to reduce our grumbling and argument in the church. We need to proclaim great life, and we need to quit arguing and questioning and complaining about everything. We whine a lot in the American church. Would you agree with me? We argue about stuff nobody cares about. Listen, I got in an argument with a brother saying that we argue about stuff we don't need to argue about. I looked at him, I said, you're proving my point. He was like, no, you need to understand these doctrinal issues. I said, what you're not hearing me, man, is the world doesn't know Jesus. They don't care about your church stuff. They haven't been to church. They did not grow up in Sunday school. They did not go to vacation Bible school. They haven't been to Junior Cookie Monsters for Jesus. They haven't done all that stuff. And Jesus Christ loves them and has died for them and means something to them. But you and I got to start declaring the love of Jesus and quit griping about the world going to hell. The world's doing what it's supposed to do. Guess what the world will naturally do? Go to hell. That's what the world does. All y'all that are trying to save the whales and the environment and all these things, you're saving something that's not going to be here. God's got the final word, not science. But hold on. If you believe there is no God, and you believe it's only about science, then you got to save this place because that's all you got. You see, I believe everything here is temporary. What do you all believe? Talk to me. We talk to each other. What do you think? Now, watch this. I can't say this as well at this service as I did at 8 o'clock service, but I said, if y'all think things are permanent, go stare in the mirror this afternoon. Now, in this service, y'all don't get this yet because y'all still young and pretty and everything's up high and lifted up and all that kind of stuff. Now, I want you to know, ain't everything going to stay high and lifted up. I don't care how many doctors you got. It's all coming down. Me and my age, I was laughing. I was in the gym the other day. And this guy came by and said, man, do you still bodybuild? I said, are you kidding? I said, I am slowing the inevitable fall. That's all I do. I said, I feel like a little kid with a rope just holding everything back. Knowing that one day the kid's going to let go of the rope and it's really going to be bad. Of course, Elizabeth looks at me and she said, I think it's good for your cardio. I said, I tell you what, that's what you need to put on my grave one day. It's good for his cardio. I said, Elizabeth, I swear, if I have a massive heart attack and have eaten all this cardboard food and I have it early, I'm going to be really ticked at you. And I'm going to meet you in heaven with a Big Mac and a large fry in both of my hands, smoking a cigar. She'll go, you didn't make it, did you? That's what it is. Look at here. Look at here. Listen, I'm really serious about this, though. We need to watch how we talk to others that don't know Jesus. I stand guilty, man. Sometimes I've complained and I didn't need to complain. I need to confess that Jesus is Lord instead of complain about what we're doing. You know, sometimes I've complained about the leaders too much. And then I had to ask myself, because, well, what have I done to bring life? I'm finding this, the more that I live life, the more people have questions about the life I live. Isn't that neat? They'll ask you, you ain't, listen, saved a lot of money. You ain't going to have any of those tracks. You ain't got to wear those t-shirts and those rubber bracelets to say, what would Jesus do? Now you're just doing it. He would be life wherever he is. That's who he is. We need to go do the same thing. So listen, I'm going to give you a challenge. Everybody's had a challenge today. And you'll get challenged Wednesday night if you come back. I want you to really work on complaining less this week and see what happens. Any of y'all got just chronic complaining disease? Do you really? All right. Hey, but guess what else you got? You know how you get rid of it? Just like you did right there. I'm going to be honest about it. Anybody else complain? Here, we'll get to the bottom line of it. Any of you husbands married? No, I'm not going to do that in here. I want you to have a good afternoon. Any of you wives married any husbands that complain? Oh, Elizabeth, that's a lukewarm answer. I complain sometimes, but you know what? I didn't look at this until the Lord really spoke it. Arguing and complaining nullifies witness. Boy, I don't want us to nullify our witness, you know, but it nullifies witness. We, the people of God, ought to be the people that people say, man, they live. Instead of this, they complain about everything. I mean, listen to what we sound like in the world. We're against everything and nobody knows what we're for. Oh, they know what we're against. I mean, down south, if you follow Jesus, what are we against? By God, you better not drink a beer. Now you drink a beer, you go to hell. I'm against it. Y'all heard that? It's a new English word. Against it. It's all one word. Against it. But nobody knows what we're for. We're for people being forgiven of their sins. We're for people being filled with love and joy and peace and patience. We're for great marriages and wonderful children. We're for people succeeding. And we're for people not staying in a victim position, but being risen to a productive position. I don't know about you, but Jesus is for those things. Amen. He did die on the cross to forgive us of all of our sins. But guess what? The message didn't stop there. He also arose from the grave so we would never have to be permanently stuck ever again. So go live. Guess what? He said, don't argue. Don't grumble. Don't fuss. Don't complain about what God asked you to do. Just go be it. Just go live in it. Love it. Ask God to do what? Bless it. And guess what he says you become? That you may be what? The children of God in a crooked and messed up generation. Among whom you shine as lights in the what? World. How many are ready to be some light? All right, watch this. Your light. Now, we're not going to like this. I don't totally like this. Why do we complain? Why do we do it? I tried to think about this week. Why do I complain? I came up with this. Sometimes it makes me feel good. Y'all ever complain it makes you feel good? And y'all get feel good about it? I mean, I feel like I've said my piece. Never works, but... How many of y'all enjoy being around people that complain? Any of you couples got other friends that are just chronic complainers and you just go, man, I can't wait till we get to go out and eat with so-and-so because I want to hear how bad the food is, how bad the service is, how bad the parking is, how bad everything is. Yeah. Now, I just want to give you a heads up. I love you guys. I want you all to know how much I love you guys. And the longer we stay here, it's crazy. The more I love you guys. I mean, people ask me this. Y'all going to think this is crazy, Wayne. You're going to think this is crazy. People, pastors meet me, and they think I'm crazy. You know, pastors that don't know me. And they go, one of them looked at me, and they go, you really like your congregation. What a novel idea. This is how messed up the church is today. I don't know about you, but I love what I do. I want you to love what you do. Because we're all loved by Jesus. And without what he does, none of us get anywhere. Amen? So watch this. Quit screaming for equality. And ask God to bring out your light. You say, well, what if Susie's light's brighter than mine? To the glory of God. But everybody got a light. Amen? And you put all those lights together, what happens? Bright. So I kind of look at it like this. We become a big bug light. It's going to be spring one day, I promise. It's got to happen. But we're like a big bug light. I have a really warped mind. I like those bug lights. I like a big mosquito zapper ones because I can't stand mosquitoes. And I think it's great when you hear this on a summer's eve. What's that light do? Light draws bugs. And we're all bugs that have fallen short of the glory of God. You know what we need to do? So, Pastor Steve, what if people get in here and smoke marijuana? That's not a new thing here. That's not even an old thing here. That's, praise God, come as you are and let God save you. Amen? Y'all think that's easy, don't you? Mm-mm. See, when you open up and you live like Jesus, everybody else is going to talk about you. I care about one guy talking about me. He's our Lord and Savior. And if I get in trouble for loving people from all different backgrounds, I've misread the whole Bible and I'm in big trouble anyway. I'm willing to take that risk. So as long as I'm pastor, as long as Jamie's pastor, as long as Jeff's pastor, as long as Mark's pastor, as long as the pastors you've got here, and even the younger pastors, Derek and Pastor Jeremy and these guys coming up, they're going to love people no matter where they are. And if we accidentally hire some people that only, you know, some pastor that only loves some types of people, we will fire them. Because we're a church that loves all types of people. We don't care if you're rich or if you're poor. We really don't care what color you are because we got so many colors here at Hillview, we look like one in multiple crayon boxes. Hallelujah. It ain't about that. Some of y'all have been so infatuated with your pigmentation that you're going to be blown away in heaven that was never a heavenly issue. You're going to be so disappointed. I mean, there's people that have spent lifetimes on pigmentation. They've spent their whole life focused on their pigmentation.
And they're going to go to heaven and realize that God never had that even as an issue. Are there going to be people that spent so a lifetime on their sexual nature that they never found their life? Or their intellectualism, they never found their life? You're not a piece. You're not a part. You're not just a section of. You're a person. And Jesus loves all of it. And redeems what? All of it. From little babies to grown men. Jesus loves me. This I know. For he died on a cross to tell me so. And on that cross, he did not stay put, but rose from that grave so I might be afoot. I can't stand up unless Jesus stands up in me. And I can't stand on a solid rock where all other ground is sinking sand if I don't go, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner in need of your grace. And guess what he goes? That's an understatement. But I'm a Savior that's full of grace. I will forgive you, hold you, and change you forevermore. Amen, says Jesus. Cool deal? Well, some of you were brought here today because God loves you so much, he wants you to be saved. He would like you to go to heaven and not perish in an eternal hell. I know you don't want me to mention hell because that's offensive to some people, and they believe that they ought to have the religion of their own choosing, and everything's going to be all right one day. I believe as long as you have the religion of your own choosing and you end up in hell, you're not going to be very happy if I don't tell you the truth. So you got a choice. You can either submit to Jesus, or you can do it Oprah's way. Or you can do it the world's way. Or you can do it according to the whichever political party you prefer. There are nuts on both sides of the aisle. You can decide the red, white, and blue is more powerful than the red. The blood's what changes. You can decide, I'm going to take my chances. I'm going to live like Elvis and do it my way. Powerful, powerful life Elvis had, didn't it? Fat, dead, on the toilet. At 50. Because he was the king of rock and roll. There's a big difference when you're the king of kings. Now, I'm not saying that Jesus wasn't with Elvis. I'm just saying there's better ways to live. In fact, I wouldn't do it my way. Guess what I'd do? I'd do it his. And he'll forgive you and love you and take you to heaven. Y'all been more than wonderful today. Let's stand up. Let's let God speak. As our pastors come forward, they're here to talk to you. There's not a one of them that can save you or change you. I know them. I can't save you. I can't change you. But I can tell you the truth. I can tell you the what? The truth, straight up. Anybody today, Lord Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of my sin. You say that? You confess that to God Almighty, and guess what he's going to do? He's going to save you. He's going to change you. He's going to connect you to heaven. We've already had several people saved today. We're going to have several more right now. I feel God moving in this place. God's speaking to some people. If you have not been baptized, guess what you need to do? Get baptized. What is it? What did we read? And you are obedient in my presence and in my absence. First part of that piece of scripture. Baptism is obedience. Belief does not fare well without obedience. Baptism signifies to you. It signifies to you that you have been buried in God's grace and risen to God's possibilities. It makes a huge difference. Once again, I've had the privilege of seeing several thousand people baptized. I've never had anybody ask to take that back.
I've seen a few thousand people married. I've had some takebacks on that. What God does, no person can change. Let God save you today. Maybe you need to come today and you just need to pray and say, God, I just need to tune up my life. Is that cool? God, I need to be in line with what you're saying, what you're doing. God, align you up. Most of all, if you're a chronic complainer, I'm going to encourage you today to come forward and ask God to kind of tone down the complaints and open your eyes up to some things you could really be praising about. Anybody here glad to be alive today? Anybody walk some beautiful children into that nursery today? Any of y'all going to give them a hug after we get done and thank them for being in church today? That's real stuff, guys. I got to hug my baby girl as she left for school today. But she got to come in and see me today. See what I'm saying? Watch this. I could have done this. I don't get to see my baby girl much. God's got her purposed on doing other things. She got a lot of work to do. God got to work his way out of her. That's her deal. But you know what? When she comes home, I don't talk to her about not being home. I celebrate her being home. That's just a heads up for some of you parents. Celebrate the moment. Let's celebrate this one. Lord, you know the hearts and minds of everybody that came in here. And Lord, you want to save anyone that came in here that doesn't know you. So right now, Jesus, I'm just going to ask you to speak so clearly that nobody can deny that it's you. So Lord Jesus, bring the sinners to salvation. Tell them right now, Lord, they can be saved. Show them right now, Lord, they can be saved. If that's you, just talk to me, Lord. Just tell him, Lord Jesus, I have sinned against you. And Lord Jesus, I want to be saved. Hear those beautiful words. Lord Jesus, I want to be saved. Lord Jesus, come into my life and save me of my sin. Forgive me, God. I receive your new life. Anybody saying that? Anybody confessing that? Anybody receiving that right now? I'm just going to ask you lovingly. Yeah, I want you to come forward and talk to one of these pastors because we want to connect with you and welcome you into the kingdom of God. I hear some of my intellectual friends going, Pastor Ayers, it cannot be that simple. It needs to be more complicated than that. It needs to be more complex than that. Well, let me help you. Man did not design salvation. God did. God did. So may Jesus save us. Amen. Church, I got great news. We are still in the United States of America. We're still seeing great things happen. This altar is open, wide open for everybody to come and freely pray and love the Lord with no harsh treatment whatsoever. So while I can preach freely outside of prison, respond freely to the love and the grace of God. Let's worship our Lord in the name of Jesus. Let's worship our Lord.